7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hi guys, this is Jen, and I am here with podcast number 11, and we are doing part 4 of the Heaven Invasion series. And I'm so happy you guys are enjoying the series. Your feedback has been great, and I'm glad you are loving all of them. So I know you're going to love this one too. I just wanted to let you know, in the CD we had to crop a part in the middle because at that point Kat taught the church how to do the angel dance. And seeing how this is a podcast and you can't see what's going on, we just felt it was best to cut that part out. So you might hear a little bit of a choppy part, but it's all good. It still sounds great, and I know you're going to love it. I also wanted to let you guys know that at the beginning of the CD, she recaps the story of Marissa because there were some new people at the church that day, and she felt like the Holy Spirit wanted her to share the story again. But it's good because it leads into what she shares afterwards. So enjoy it. It's an awesome story, and I know you guys will love hearing about Marissa's story and how it impacted everybody. The music we are playing on the podcast tonight is called Serenity 444, and it's done by John Tussey, who is an amazing worship artist, and we play his music here in the office quite often, and you've heard it before in some of the other podcasts, and Kat has also played it in the background on a lot of her Facebook Lives. If you would like more information about John Tussey, you can go to his website, which is johntussey.com, and check out all his other CDs. They're wonderful, great for soaking. You guys are going to love them. Okay, and very exciting, Kat is back from Korea. Yay! We are all so happy she is back from Korea. And I know she's happy to be back from Korea. Once she has rested and recuperated and got back into the swing of things, we will be doing a normal podcast with a Q&A session. I know you guys have missed those, so we're going to try to do one of those as soon as possible. Now, on to the podcast. You guys enjoy it. Be blessed. Talk to you later.
I went to was a high school graduation, you know, where kids are throwing things and yelling and screaming, and I had to captivate those seniors, and I did. I told them the story of Marissa, and that's what I'm going to tell you right now. You're going to get the short version, but it will absolutely amaze you. It's one of the times he took me to heaven, and I'm going to share that with you, one of the most profound things I ever experienced in him taking me. My mother and I did hospitality at our church, where I have been a member for over 20 years. And I don't just sit in a seat. I volunteer. I started by scrubbing the baseboards, and then I helped to watch the children. That was the toughest assignment. If you remember, I was one of 15. I'm number 3. That means I caught everything else coming down the line. That meant responsibility. That trained me to be a leader. It trained me to understand people are different. It trained me to understand that it's not going to all be about me. So God used everything in my life to prepare me for this. But to put me in front of a bunch of teenagers, you know, the guys are thinking all right away, you know, here's some lady and look at her. She's got pink hair. Of course, you know, they actually liked that part. I did have pink hair at that time. I was amazed that they let me come and speak. But they did. And so I started to tell them about the story of Marissa, who I'd never met before in my life, didn't know anything about her. The pastor's wife called and asked if my mother and I could clean this lady's home, which we didn't normally do. We did hospitality. We bought food. We prepared it, decorated, served it. We did it for over 6 years. We gave about 30 hours a week to our church. I'm a member of a 4,000-member church. That was a lot of work. When we had an event, we prepared the food for everybody. We loved people. We served them. We remember I was trained. We gave food away. We would grab the mailman, the tree trimmers. It didn't matter who it was. We'd chase you down the street. If you came anywhere near our house, you got fed. And we still do that. My sister makes up baskets, and she takes them to everybody in City Hall. You know, she feels the politicians need someone to love them because most people don't. The judges know her. The cops know her. The city councilman, she never gets in trouble. She's the only person in the city that can park in the mayor's parking spot and not get thrown in jail. So we all do that. All of my brothers and sisters love people. We try to feed everybody we can find. So these teenagers were expecting, I don't know what they were expecting, but they knew they were going to find out about heaven. I'm sure they thought it was boring. They had taken the survey, so I already knew what was on their hearts. And yes, most of them did ask about their pets. They asked a lot of other questions. You know, will I know my family in heaven when I get there? Do the people up there, do they know what's going on in my life? One of them said, why would God want me there? Why would he care about me? If people go to hell, is there any way we can get them back out because we love them? They ask many profound questions that actually just really pierce my heart. These are teenagers sharing their heart. Then somebody thought they'd be really smart and say, is there a test to get into heaven? If there is, what are the answers to the questions? And then we had some really wild ones, which I'm not going to mention to you. There's always some smart kid that has to ask something, you know, that's not, you know, because I already knew what I was going to share. This pastor's wife asked us, This pastor's wife asked us to clean this woman's home. We had just finished a 3 or 4 day event at our church. We were very tired, but my mother said yes. She couldn't refuse. So we went to the lady's house the next day. My mother started cleaning. I was dusting the mantle. As I was dusting the mantle, the Lord said to me, I want you to give Melody a message. And I heard him speaking to me. I was very used to that. This is 2001. He started taking me to heaven in 1996. So he said, I want you to give Melody a message. And I'm just dusting and I'm going, well, who's Melody? And he said, that's Marissa's mother. And I said, well, who's Marissa? That's the young girl who just died in the ski accident. You're standing in her grandmother's home. We didn't know any of these people, had never met them, didn't know anything about them. So the Lord proceeds to tell me, I want her mother to know that her great-grandfather met her at the gate. She's staying with him, and he's taking her somewhere to have lots of fun. She's grieving desperately for her because Marissa was all she had. And I want her to know I'm going to answer her prayer. He said, I want her to know that I've made her a youth leader in heaven. He doesn't go by your age. She was 13 years old, we found out later. And the very next moment, I'm shortening this very short for you because I have so many things to share. The next instant, I wasn't in front of the fireplace. I was on a path in heaven. Every time I go, I'm captivated by what the flowers look like, the trees, the sky. It is amazing. There's no nighttime there, and yet you get color light shows all the time. It's like the aurora borealis magnified 1,000 times. Because he knows that we love things like that. Sometimes there's a fireworks show just because he wants you to appreciate it. Even in broad daylight, the colors are so magnificent and brilliant, you can see them from miles away. The flowers, when you walk past them, they turn their heads and follow you, whatever direction you walk in. They don't just look beautiful and smell beautiful. They make music. You're sitting there trying to listen to the symphony and you're walking along this path and he's telling me to look in front of me so I can pay attention to what he sent me there for. But it is a beautiful, wonderful place to be in. I get close enough, I can hear them talking. The people that he has me observe do not recognize me. They do not see me. I'm only there to observe. I do not talk to people who've died and gone to heaven, so I cannot go up there and find your aunt and say something to her. I've had people ask me that. I'm sorry, I can't do that. Besides the fact they can see and hear you, their self, and I'm going to talk about that next. Anyway, so I'm proceeding down this path, and I can hear her. She's got strawberry blonde hair. She's got blue eyes. She's beautiful. She's looking up into the face of somebody who looked like they were 25 years old, but if you remember, he said her great-grandfather was taking her somewhere. You do not stay old when you go to heaven. You're young. There is an eternal age that everyone has. Inside of you, your spirit being is an eternal being. If you die and go to heaven as a child, that spirit being is the size your body was, but it eventually will grow to this eternal age, just very slowly. So I saw this young girl. She was talking to her great-grandfather. She was very excited about where she was going, but she could only talk about her mother. She said, I wish I could have told my mother goodbye. I wish I could have told her I love her very much. I wish she knew I was a youth leader in heaven. I want her to know that I'm cheering her on. And when I see her again, I'm going to kiss her on both cheeks. I want her to know I'm going to share everything that's happened to me since I've been here. They had a very special relationship. The closer we got, I saw these beautiful gates, but they were open. It was very surprising to me. There was just two big columns and these gates that were about 30 or 40 feet high, but they were opened. And I learned after a while that every time you enter into a new part of heaven, there will be columns and gates. That just shows you you're going into a new area. There were no walls. They don't need walls in heaven. There's nothing to guard or protect. You're safe everywhere you go. You never have to lock your door. Some people don't even have doors on their houses. They just have openings. Some people don't have ceilings in their homes. They want to see the sky. It's whatever you want. That's what you get up there. So I proceeded down this path. I kept listening to her. And then pretty soon I noticed in the distance a roller coaster. I was shocked. I never, ever expected to see something like that. But why wouldn't there be? If you take your children places here to have fun, does everybody do that? Yes, you do. Do you buy them gifts? Yes, you do. Your Father in heaven does the same thing. He has created places for you to have fun. That's why he says you must be like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. That doesn't mean you're going to be little again. That means he wants you to have fun. You will have fun in heaven. He told me when he started taking me to heaven, we're going to make you have fun. I didn't have fun growing up. Taking care of 8 children is not fun. I had to help them with their homework, help them dress. I had done everything but bear a child by the time I left home. So that was a lot of responsibility. He was going to make sure I found out that when I got there, I would have fun. So this roller coaster was massive. The closer I got, I could see the people riding on the roller coaster. They were screaming and yelling, and you know what, to my amazement, the angels were also riding the roller coasters. I was shocked to find out that when I came up closer to it, you could see the cars. There were no wheels. I had no idea how this thing was staying on the track, but it was, and it was going much faster than anything down here had ever gone. You cannot get hurt in heaven. You cannot, even if you fell, you would not get hurt. You cannot get injured, sick. You cannot die. You've already done that to get there. This roller coaster was whizzing around these tracks so fast, and then when it came around a curve, it leapt. It leapt from that track to another one, and it was quite a distance. We don't do that down here, do we? We can't do that down here. Not unless it was leaving the track for good. Well, they leap from place to place. When that roller coaster got to the very top, and I still don't know how high it was. I thought it was about 100 feet. But when someone showed me how high that was, it was much further than that. When the roller coaster dropped, they all did the same thing we do here. Everybody, including the angels, raised their hands in the air and screamed all the way down. And Marissa was so excited that she was going to get to go there. She was really excited. So whenever the Lord was finished with me, he brought me back down. I was once again holding the duster in front of the fireplace. I called my mother very quickly, told her what happened. We called the pastor's wife. She was in shock because she knew something I didn't know. She gave me Melody's phone number so we could contact her. I went home. I typed all the information down. When this event took place, it was the Friday after this little girl's funeral. So this was very, very soon after she had buried her daughter. I called her. You can imagine what that feels like. Thank God I didn't have the pink hair at that time. She already thought I was strange enough. And I had to tell her that I had information from heaven about her daughter. But she was so desperate to know where she was and what was going on with her. She said, yes, she would meet me. Sometimes people meet me in their homes. She did not. We met outside of a mall, and I told her, you know, I smiled at her when I met her, and I thanked her for letting me meet with her, and I said, this is what we're going to do. You're going to sit there. I'm going to read all this information to you. When I am done, you can tell me if you believe that I have seen your daughter in heaven. So she sat there, and I started with, the Lord wants you to know that Marissa's great-grandfather met her at the gate, and I saw them going on roller coaster rides. When I said those words, she turned white and she almost fainted. So I stopped and asked her, do you want me to go on? I just thought it was too much for her. And all she could do was wave at me to go on. The more I read, she started to cry. And then she started to laugh. And then she would laugh, and then she would cry, and then she started shaking. And I knew she was being impacted by truth from heaven, something she never dreamed that she would have an answer to. When I was done, I looked at her, and she just looked at me, and she shook her head, and she goes, I don't know you. I have never met you in my life. You do not know my daughter, but you just described her in detail. She said, I know you've been there because you said things that only Marissa knew, not anyone else. She said, every morning when I dropped her off at school, she would kiss me on both cheeks. Every day she came home, she shared everything with me that happened in her life. Her goal in life was to become a youth pastor. She was going to attend college, and that was what she wanted to become. She told me later that she had already impacted her elementary school and her junior high school. For her funeral, they closed both schools and bused them to her funeral. She befriended every person in that school that needed somebody. She would go and pray for them, even the teachers. They all loved her. They were devastated when she died. But God was about to make her life count. Her mother told me, the one reason I know for sure that you've been there is because the day before her funeral, I felt led by the Holy Spirit to look under her bed. Under her bed, I found a journal that she had kept in 1995. I had never seen that. She said she had never seen the journal. So she started going through it because it was like a part of her daughter was still there. On one of the pages, written in October 5th, 1995, the teacher had told them all that they had to take this assignment. For 1 year, they had to write something down that was for each day of their life that had happened to them. October 3rd, 1995, her mother found these words written. Last night I dreamed I died early and went to heaven early. I met my great-grandfather early, and I went on roller coaster rides. I did see tons of mansions. It was wonderful. But he only gave me a peek. So as fast as a roller coaster, I went back down. That was a prophetic dream that God had given that girl back in 1995. In 2001, she did die early. She did go to heaven early. She did meet her great-grandfather, and she did go on roller coaster rides. Her mother was encouraged when she read that before the funeral because she felt like that was something from God. That's why she almost fainted when I said it to her. There is no way whatsoever I could have had any of the information unless I had been there. God chose that situation and event to prove that not only does heaven exist, but you literally will have fun when you go there. I rejoice every day that he let me experience that. I prayed for Melody. She said that she missed her daughter. It was the only thing she had. The doctors had told her she could have no more children. I don't always share this part of it, but I will. And so I prayed with her. She had just remarried. I prayed with her and I told her, God said he's going to give you more children. She now has a set of 5-year-old twins. So God blessed her. They both have red hair. They both have blue eyes. And I want you to know that both of these children at different times have actually seen Marissa appear in the room. That doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes God does allow it. So if you have someone tell you that, don't tell them they're lying. You don't know. He does not let people live on this earth after they die, but whenever he decides for whatever purpose he wants, he does let you appear briefly. And isn't just because they ask, it's from whatever's in his heart or whatever reason he picks, that's his choice. So now, when God asked me to write this book, he told me to go back to all the people that I'd ministered to over all those years, because every time I did this, I would type it down and take it to the people so they didn't have to try to remember what was said to them, they had it in writing. I went back to them and asked them if I could use this information for the book that God wanted me to write, and they signed a legal release form, and then they gave me their own personal statement on how that information impacted their life and changed it forever. So in that book, there are stories of what happened in heaven. There are also written statements by a family member, either a parent or a spouse. And it's their real names. Nothing's been changed. You can call them on the phone and ask them, and they will confirm, yes, everything in that is true. So there's many stories in there about those experiences. That's what God did with me. So now I'm going to share why I said that your people in heaven can see you. One of the most awesome places he took me to in heaven is called the portal. There are many of them. I know you hear it on the news and in movies that people pass through portals and things. And, I know that sounds pretty wild. They actually exist. Now I'm talking about the ones in heaven. I don't know about all the other ones people have seen, but I can tell you what I've seen. In Hebrews 12:1, it says that there are a great cloud of witnesses in heaven that have passed on before us. They're not going to be witnesses unless they're seeing something. They can't put you on the witness stand unless you have seen something. So, yes, they can see us. He would not have said they were witnesses. And they've passed on before us, so they're still not in their body in the ground. I know that one of the things I face all the time is some people say, when you die, you're dead till resurrection day. That isn't what the Word says. The Word says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He's not in the ground. Also, the day on the cross, when he turned to the thief, he didn't say, I'll see you in the ground. He said, I'll see you in paradise. So your spirit does not stay in your body. When you die, it leaves. There's no way it could stay there. There's no life in that body. That body will be resurrected on resurrection day. It will be glorified. It will be joined back to your spirit. That is all scriptural. What people didn't know was there is a literal place in heaven where they can come and witness you. I went to that place, and I'm going to show you the picture of it. This is one of the illustrations in the book right here. This is what the portal, one of them, looks like in heaven. It is an amazing, beautiful place. It is this beautiful gold building. You come in this arched doorway, and you proceed down this beautiful hallway. I didn't draw everything in the picture. There are angels flying all over in there. There's an amazing green aura that comes from this place. The music is unbelievable that comes forth in here. They walk up these stairs and they look over a balcony. And even I, as a child, heard people talk about the balconies of heaven. I just didn't know they were real. When they look over this balcony and they look down into this opening, whoever is on their heart, God allows them to see as close as this ceiling. They can see and hear you whenever they want to. So if you've gone through bad things in your life and maybe done things that you didn't want them to see, they're not up there worried. They're not upset. They're not begging God to do something. And do you know why? They have lived in the presence of the all-powerful God. They do know what His will is for your life. That's why Jesus said, pray that my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They know what it is. The day that I went there, I saw two different families. Well, I saw a lot of people. This is about the size of a football field. 1,000 people could come in here, and even the angels are very curious about us. They go and look down. When I looked down, I didn't see anything because I wasn't a permanent resident, but he wanted me to see this place. This family saw a family member get saved. Everybody in that place ran over there and congratulated them. They slapped them on the back. They shook their hand. People were shouting glory to God. Then it went into the throne room. It went all over heaven because they are excited when someone gets saved. The only other time they get as excited is when you pray with someone to get saved. They get to see that too. They know what you've done for God. But you have to understand, the next thing I saw was a family who saw a family member doing drugs. They didn't run and scream and cry. They got the rest of their family over there. They walked up to the balcony. They pointed over the balcony, and in unison they declared, we declare in the name of Jesus Christ, you will be free from that. We declare you will become a mighty man of God. We declare you will be a living witness to the testimony of the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And they left it. But you have to understand, they didn't just see the family member doing drugs. They saw the activity of the Holy Spirit all around that area because people on earth were praying for that person. They saw the angels coming to intervene on behalf of them to combat the demons that were causing that. They don't just see what happens in this physical realm. They see what God is already doing about it in the spiritual realm. So they know something's happening. You just have to believe it when you're praying for them. So they were actually rejoicing knowing that God was already intervening as they were declaring. That's what we're supposed to do here. That's why I said to do it. I saw them doing it. If Christ is our chief advocate and he intercedes for us, then people in heaven declare and stand for you there too. It can't have the same amount of impact because the angelic activity and the Holy Spirit were working not because of their prayers. They were working because of the people down here praying for that person. You have power in your prayer. This place is absolutely amazing. Down here at the bottom of these columns, people ask me a lot, what do the streets of gold look like? Right here. At the base of these columns, this gold looks transparent. Right there. It looks like it's almost made out of glass. That is what the streets of gold look like. God didn't choose it because it was worthless and it was just pavement. He chose it so you would have the very best thing made by him to walk on when you get to heaven. A lot of things are made out of gold in heaven, and many of them are transparent because they all reflect the glory of God. The streets reflect his glory. The trees reflect his glory. Even the sky reflects his glory. That's why when you are outside, there are no shadows. You can't have shadows when light is engulfing you. So that is an amazing place. There's many of them in heaven, and there's many different types and styles. There are some, and in the throne room of God, there's even one big one in the wall. They can walk up and look and see you. Some of them I saw were on tabletops, very big tabletops in some of these rooms, like a boardroom, and people could walk up and look and see you. So there are many ways that they can see you and hear you. They know what you're going through, but you have to look at the other side. They also know what you like. From the time your family member and friends get there, they are collecting gifts for you. When you get home to heaven, you have a huge celebration. They all take them to your mansion. It says in the book of John, you get one. And I'll let you tell you this, the more you do for him, it really does build your place. I know there's a song out there that says that. It's true. You get a beautiful place to live in heaven. It's guaranteed to you if you come home there. But if you give your life for God and for others, you have some of the most fantastic places that exist there. Some of the people who have some of the most beautiful mansions are grandmothers because they were intercessors. Intercessors are big on God's list. They stand in the gap for people when no one else will. They give their life at any hour of the day to get up and pray when he asks them to. You don't all have to be Billy Graham. You just have to do what he's called you to do to get your reward in heaven. If he called you to bake bread and take it to homeless people or to people who are sick and that's your calling, you get your reward in heaven. You just have to find out what it is, and he wants you to know more than you do. If you ask him, he'll tell you. It's probably the thing that you desire and love to do the most. If you like being with people, then that's it. If you like helping, if you like being in charge, although you need to be trained. And I would encourage everybody here, if you're a member of a church, do more than sit in the seat. You get reward for that too. You get reward for honoring your pastor. You get great reward for tithing. And I know there's a lot of controversy about that. Let me tell you from the Father God, he still wants you to tithe. And the reason for that is so he can take the other 90% and make it go 150%. You cannot outgive God. When our family didn't have anything, we gave things away. When we didn't have money, we found something to give. We gave ourselves. We gave our time. He has taken care of us all of our lives. At one time, we lost everything we had. We had to sleep on someone's floor. We didn't care. We took our daughters out of school. We got a hotel room, and we danced all day long and praised God. Don't you think that caused the devil to have a really bad headache? We weren't scared, and we weren't worried. We knew who we served. We knew that he cared about us. We knew what we'd been called to do, and we were going to make sure the enemy knew it. Within a very few weeks, he opened a door for us to live into the most exclusive place in our city. It was given to us. It was fully furnished. We did not pay one penny. For a whole year, we were there in the best place we could have, even if we had the money, we couldn't have bought it. That's because we showed God that we believed him more than our situation and our circumstances. I am not somebody that he will honor above other people. He will give you the same thing if you will give him what I did. You have to trust him like a child. He will bless you. No matter who you bless, you cannot outbless him. Pray for your pastors. Pray for your leaders. Don't talk about them. We're about to pray. I told you we would, and we're going to. He wouldn't let me leave without doing it. You want a clean slate. And once again, I'm not talking about you murdering somebody or doing something wrong, stealing, killing. I'm talking about what you've done with your tongue. You want your record erased from all those words. It's clean. Breakthrough will come to you right away. It's already been happening from the other services I had here. I had people do that. Their lives are already changing. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. You can bind and loose with your mouth. When someone does something against you and you hold it against them, you are binding on earth. You bind God's hands in heaven. He can't come to help you. He can't heal you because you're holding something against somebody. And the word says, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. So you need to watch what you're saying with your mouth. When you love somebody, when you encourage them and pray for them, you loose things on theirs. When you forgive that person, you literally not only loose that thing that's blocking for you, you sick the Holy Spirit on that person because you're holding nothing against them. You're not wanting it even written down. And yes, I do say that. It says you act like nothing ever happened. It's hard, but you can do it if the Holy Spirit helps you. You would not believe the blessings, the mercy, the goodness that will come into your life when you forgive somebody. Literally, heaven will shower things on you. He wants you to know that's the way you're supposed to live. If it's hard to forgive them, and then you tell the Father, as an act of my will, even if my feelings don't feel like it, as an act of my will, I decide to forgive that person. It works. Because your will is what matters. That's how you get into heaven or hell. It's an act of your will. He won't make you do it. You have to be willing. So we're going to pray. I want everyone to please just follow this after me. Your records will immediately be wiped clean of anything you ever said that was wrong against somebody. Whether you cursed them, if you shredded them, if you gossiped, if you backbite, and I'll tell you this too, there are angels that record, and they don't just record your words. If you allow someone to gossip to you and get away with it, that means you're acknowledging what they're saying. They will record the fact that you allow people to gossip in front of you or shred somebody in front of you. Don't let them do it. You don't have to be rude. You just say, I'm sorry. I'd rather go pray for them. Because if you listen to it, 9 times out of 10, you're going to repeat it. There are scribe angels that are assigned to this earth, and they do record things that you say and things that you do. It is scriptural. And in this time and season, for the last several years, they have actually been on this earth doing that very thing. I made sure my record was wiped clean. And I have to do it too. We all fall sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with repenting. But the longer you wait, the harder it is. So we're going to say this right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you. I repent for allowing the enemy to use my mouth as a weapon against you, myself, or man. I repent for backbiting, for gossiping, for shredding people, for cursing, for not speaking love. I renounce any association with the enemy in this matter. I break the enemy's power over my life, over my family's life. Right now, I loose anyone who has spoken against me, who has cursed me, who has hurt me, who has abused me. I am free to love and to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! Y'all celebrate. I tell you what, your records are squeaky clean, every one of you. I absolutely expect breakthrough to come into every one of your lives. Things you've been asking for, things you've been expecting, things you need, they will be put in your hands. Because you have obeyed the Spirit of God, not me. You weren't releasing it to me. You weren't trusting me. You were trusting Him. So God wants you to know He is very blessed and pleased with you. And I want you to know also that this portal right now is over top of this building, and every one of your family members and friends that are there, living there, are watching this meeting. They are rejoicing right now because they know you have been set free. So the next thing I'm going to ask you to do, and it might be funny, but guess what? The Holy Spirit wants you to be like His. I want you to say hello to them. Because almost no one ever recognizes that they are there, even though we know they're there. So I want you to look up to the ceiling, and I want you to wave and go, "Hi, everybody!" I want you to know right now they are all jumping and screaming and yelling. Because they know that you know they're there. That is very encouraging, and you're one of the first people on this planet to ever do that. So how about that? It's a first fruit thing. You're some of the first people. There's no mistake that you were here today. Your family members have probably been bugging God forever to make sure you got here. They did not want you to miss it. And they have now just been blessed and rewarded by you acknowledging them. I'm not telling you to walk around all day long and stare at the ceiling and talk to them. You don't have to do that. People will think you're nuts. It would help if you had pink hair, then they'd really think you were nuts. But it's true. They really are there, and they are very blessed. If you had miscarried or aborted babies, your babies are also at the portal because the angels go and pick them up, and they bring them there so they can see what their families are doing. So when you waved at them, they waved back. Thank you all very much for letting me share with you today. I do have one other thing I do want to say, because I said I'd share about something new. One of the places I went to in heaven is absolutely amazing. It still actually mystifies me. There is a place in heaven where you are taught to create, because we are sons and daughters. Our Father wants us to learn what He does. We are supposed to be like our Father. So there is a place called Creation Lab. When you go up to this place, there are no entrances to it. You have to use your faith to get in there. So people who thought you would never have to use your faith again, you're wrong. I went up there several times. I couldn't get in. I didn't know what was wrong. I wanted to know if God was mad at me, which is ridiculous. And so finally the Holy Spirit said, "You have to just ask." And I said, I asked Him what He meant. He said, "You must believe that you can enter into that place." I said, "There's no door." He said, "You make the door." Remember, it's Creation Lab. So you're trained before you ever get in there. You have to use your faith. So I just walked up to it the next time. I said, "Father, I believe that I can enter into that place." A doorway appeared. There were no handles on it. So I had the door, but I still didn't have any way to get in there. I thought, should I go up there and knock? I'm telling you, the angels laugh hysterically at me all the time. I know they record everything I do because they show it over for reruns. So now I'm standing in front of the door. I'm like, I believed I could get in, and there's the door. He said, "You believed you could get in, but you have to believe that you will enter in." So you're like right there. And how many things in our lives does that happen to us? We kind of believe God, but we never take that next step. You have to use faith. It blesses the Father. He responds to your faith, not your need. And I know that might sound harsh, but He wants you to use faith. He exists. He wants to help you. So then I walked up to it and said, "Father, I believe I can enter in." And from out of nowhere, that door split down the middle and opened up. So now I got to go in. I was so excited. When I'm inside, I didn't know what else to do next. And he said, well, where do you want to go? What do you want to see? And I'm just standing in the middle of this beautiful place. I mean, it's just amazing. I was trying to look at everything. There was things I didn't know what half the things were. There's so many. You think we have high tech? We don't know what it is. Okay, yes, some things God speaks and there creates, but there are little technical things up there that I couldn't even begin to describe to you that do things that I don't know. So I said, well, it's called Creation Lab. It has to do something with when you created. So I would like to see when you created the heavens and the earth. At that very moment, in the middle of this big room, a platform appeared in the center and raised up out of the floor. It was crystal clear. You could see through it. I didn't know what it was made out of, and I didn't care. So I went over and stood on it. I didn't know what else to do. Immediately, this beautiful light started to fill this place, and all around me was an amazing hologram, but it felt like it was real. I stood there on that platform, and I watched God create the heavens and the earth. I saw him take his hand and take the water and pour it out onto our oceans. I saw him take the stars each one at a time and throw it up into the heavens. He named them all, by the way. That's why he knows every hair on your head. I was just speechless. It was beautiful. And yes, he did do it in 6 days, not 6,000 years. I know some people say, well, there's no way he could have done it in 6 days. Oh, yes, he did. I saw it. When you get there, you get to see it yourself. It was absolutely beautiful. The water's coming up. The land separated. Water's come up from beneath. The trees, the birds, the fish. There is no such thing as evolution. It's creation. God created the heavens and the earth. And he created you and me to have dominion over it. There are many other things in that place, and the reason he has it is because on the new earth, you will get to learn to create. You will literally get to create, not people. He's the only one that can do that. I have some more information for you, and it's going to be even more shocking. On the new earth, when you go on vacation, you'll go to other planets. When you get to those other planets, you will get to create. You get to create flowers, trees, beautiful things. We are going to be like our Father in heaven. We are made in his image. We are not God, but we will be like him. No one ever has to die again to bring salvation. That's only once, and it'll never be done again. You don't lose anything by accepting Christ and going to heaven. It is an amazing, awesome place. And he wants his children to enjoy that creativity. Why wouldn't he create other places for us to go? Why wouldn't we visit planets? We don't have to breathe. We don't have to have a spacesuit. Why wouldn't he make something for us like that? He is unlimited in what he does for his children. He's shown me way into the millennial reign. I don't have time to tell you all of that. He showed me that before he ever took me to heaven. I've been operating in the prophetic for over 30 years. I've known him from a little girl. I saw into the spirit realm from the time I was very young. So all of this stuff was normal to me. I didn't expect the trips to heaven, but I'd seen heaven on earth many times. I've got a few minutes left. I'm going to share with you just a couple things that will help you in your everyday life. In the spirit realm around you, when you pray, when you intercede for somebody, out of your mouth, a sword begins to form in the spirit realm. When you are done praying, the angel of the Lord takes that sword and he goes and begins to fight on behalf of the person you were praying for. Instantly, it happens. Whether you see the results or not, every time you do that, and I don't mean just these ridiculous prayers, I'm saying really pray for that person and stand on their behalf, and you use the word of God. It is a two-edged sword. So it comes out of your mouth. The angel of the Lord takes it. He begins to battle on behalf of that person. Victory will come because something has already been started. And who started it? You did. God doesn't do anything down here unless we pray. That's why he's coming in this new move that he's doing on this earth. He's pouring out his passion, his fire. You will get to live and experience Joel 2 happening on this earth. My glory will cover the earth. That is what it is. It is in the Bible. He will use children in a tremendous way during that time before they ever reach the age that we think is an adult. You know why? They will receive so easily. They don't have to rationalize and question everything. They have faith, and they won't have any problem using it. He will use anyone who wants to be used by him if your life is in order. So get ready for the most tremendous time to be alive on this planet. Amazing things are going to happen. Because this is being released to the world, when I pray, something tremendous is going to happen in the spirit realm. And it won't happen anywhere else I speak. Because I'm releasing this revelation to the world. And you all are going to agree with me. After I do that, you just raise your hands and receive what the Father has to say to you. If you receive it, it's going to happen. So right now, we're all just going to say, you just be in agreement with me. Just say, Father, we agree with your ambassador from heaven. We declare these words will be received by the world. Prepare their hearts. Prepare their spirits. Because we believe heaven is coming to earth. It's going to kiss us and we'll never be the same. Amen. Now I'm going to declare. Father, I declare in Jesus' name, this revelation of heaven is being released to the world. Take this declaration, angels of the Most High, and run with it to the ends of the earth. We release it. We've received it. Let them receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! Okay, now y'all hold your hands up. This is not me speaking. This is the Father. My children, now you don't have to repeat it. This is the Father speaking to you. My children, I declare that you will be blessed, that you will receive from me in this move that I am sending to the earth. Yes, you will be kissed by heaven. Yes, my passion will go into your heart. Yes, it will pierce it. It will transform you. It is the same fire that took my son to the cross. That passion that burns in my heart, that comes from the stones of fire that reside on the inside of me. I release that fire now, 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 now. Now, 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 in Jesus' name. Get ready for the best days of your life, because I'm about to show up and show off on your behalf. If you will believe what I have said, if you will receive it, no man, no demon can keep you from having it. I created you. I love you. I will bless you, says the Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Father. Receive it. Woo!